Blog Talk Radio.
Go.
This is Can We Talk Station. We want to know if you out there. We want to talk. You can talk and bring up whatever you want to bring up, and we will talk about it, and we live. But I'm going to go ahead and start and talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness is something we must do. It's not an option. See, we got to learn how to forgive, and sometimes we wonder why we have bitterness and sickness, and we bring this stuff on ourselves when we don't forgive. But if we want God to forgive us, then we're going to have to forgive others. Is anybody out there that want to talk about forgiveness?
Go ahead, you're doing good. Keep talking, dude.
Okay.
You just keep talking.
Remember that consequences of your actions are reaching. It reaches farther and deeper than you can ever. Because sin has consequences. God has set up morals and guidelines to help us to avoid sin in the first place. So we got to be careful what we do and what we say. Sometimes an apology isn't enough. When God forgives us and restores our relationship with Him, He does eliminate all consequences of our wrongdoing. So if anybody out there want to talk about it, let's talk about it, because we got to watch this thing. We think we can just go to God and keep saying, forgive me. But it's some consequences in that thing. Yes, we got to stop that. But we must remember that we set in motion events with irreversible unforgiveness for our consequences. You don't want to do that. You want God to forgive you, and you move forward, and you forgive us.
Well, let me ask a question now. Since we're talking about, can we talk? When we look at the word forgiveness, do we forget it? I forgive and come back and pick it up and put in a person's place and
no.
Stop say with it? Why?
Because when God said He forgive us, He threw it in the sea of forgiveness to remember that no more. So why should we hold things or we be pushing that over people's head, and then you want to make them forgive? You want to make them feel guilty. That's what you want. That you want some kind of consequence for them. So, but if you forgive, we got to move forward and let it go. Let go and let God. Because I was reading in the Bible in the prayer, and I think and it says, "Forgive us our debt, as we forgive our debtors." But you want God to forgive you of what your wrongdoing was. But what about the people that wronged you? And you still holding that against them? God,
could it be,
he ain't got it.
Go ahead.
Don't forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, I'm kind of hoarse. I'm kind of hoarse tonight. But this is Dr. Roberta Gamble. And can we talk? Can we talk? Anybody out there, can we talk?
Well, another thing I want to say to the people out there, Can We Talk is a place where black men, white men, red men, yellow men, orange men, they don't want to talk about God. They want to talk about what they want to talk about. But when time gets tough on them, now, if I'm wrong, help me out. Because they come to God. Can you help me? So if God say help you, but you have submitted to me, could that be something can be said
to the people?
I'm listening. Go ahead.
Yeah. Sometimes, Dr. Hunter, people think because they go to church, they're there every Sunday, they think that's enough. They work in church. They think they could be wrong. And because they give offering and being nice would be enough. After all, we play by the rules. We have to play by the rules. Have we played by the rules?
What rules?
Forgiveness.
What rules are you talking about now? I'm just coming on now. What rules are you talking about?
The rules that we don't want to forgive, but because we go to church and we go to attend church, we work in church, and we give, and we think that's enough. We think that's enough, but it's not enough because God's plan is not for those who try to earn his favor by being good. So it is for those who realize they can never be good enough so much they depend on Christ. Only by putting your faith in what Jesus Christ has done, we will be saved. So in order, those rules, we got to obey the Lord, what his words say. We got to forgive. We got to forgive. When somebody do us wrong, we got to forgive. Because if we don't forgive and we be holding that thing, after a while we set up bitterness, and then you be asking for joy, but you got bitterness in you. You got bitterness in you. So can we talk?
Now, the bitterness, what do you mean? The bitterness of the bone or bitterness of an attitude or what?
Bitterness of attitude toward the wrongdoing, bitterness set up in our heart about what the person done to us instead of letting go and let God fix it and you move on. Because a lot of times that's how all this stuff causes sickness and disease, unforgiveness. So we want to be able to forgive. And you say, oh, they did me wrong. Okay, they might have, but they got to suffer the consequences. Let God take over. Let God take over. Because then, you know, you messing up your relationship with God. Going to praise him. So I say out to the people, we got to learn how to forgive. To learn how to forgive, because it's not worth the life over. It's not upset. It's not worth it. Sometimes we kind of sense it.
We have
to be careful. Because an apology isn't enough. When God forgives us and restore our relationship with him, he doesn't eliminate all the consequences. I said that earlier, of all wrongdoing. We may be tempted to say, if this is wrong, I can always apologize to God. But we must remember that we set into motion events in reversible consequences. You don't want to do that. You don't want to practice that. You don't want to practice that. Practice. You want to practice something, practice forgiveness. Because sometimes people have deep hurt from childhood. And they did me this. My dad did this and this. They don't want to forgive to move on because you can't go forward looking backwards. And I'm just trying to help you to relieve some of the things in your life from way back when that you're holding on to and you don't need to. That's why I brought up the forgiveness, because I would love to see people free.
So forgiveness brings in freedom, and freedom brings in what?
Joy.
And joy brings in what? So in other words,
love and peace. You have peace of mind.
So when I hear what you're saying tonight on Can We Talk, that a lot of people are probably out there listening.
Uh-huh.
Let me do this here.
Uh-huh.
We got a big issue in America. I'm gonna ask you a question. You a woman, you can help me out on this. Do women have a right to their bodies? Huh?
What'd you say, Dr. Hunter?
I said, do the women have a right to their bodies, either to abort or to abort or not to abort?
No, because they don't give life. God gives life. And he takes it away.
So now I know you've heard a lot about these big laws that they got going on about abortion. What's your thought on that? I'm just testing the water. What are your thoughts on abortion?
I don't believe in abortion because I believe if you don't want to, you might be aborting the next president. You might be aborting the next councilman and governor, and you might be aborting the next big prophet that comes to help people. You never know what you're aborting, but you can't do this thing. Because if you don't want it, I say it's a lot of people out there that don't have kids with love to take the child. You know, you can, if you don't want it, it's a lot of adoptions. It's a lot of people that in your family would take it. You know, try to find some revenue before you do this.
Now, when you say revenue, what do you mean find some revenue? What do you mean?
Somebody else to take the child. Somebody that you can find that'll care for it and love it and bring it up in the admiration of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We got somebody on the line with us right now. How you doing, ma'am or sir?
Yeah, this is Ethel. This is Ethel Hawkins. How y'all doing?
Okay.
Hey, Ethel.
Hey.
Can we talk?
Yes, we can.
Well, right now we're talking about abortion.
Oh,
what's your
Lord.
Abortion?
Well, I think, we know... that is a sin, number one, but so many people are promoting it, trying to make it legal, and some
it's still
have
murder.
Tried so hard to be successful. It's murder. You have to call it what it is. We can talk. You have to call it what it is.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask this question. They got some of the Supreme Court that's been standing for almost 150 years. Do they go and cut that down or let it stand? That law.
You mean Supreme Court has supported abortion? Is that what you're saying?
Well, back 40-some years ago, this lady came along and said that something happened, and they passed the law for abortion. See, we can't make nobody hear what we're saying. We have to love them and what we're saying.
Right.
Right.
And my understanding is, ma'am.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
So
I don't see the Christian people, the believers, the followers of Jesus Christ. I don't see us praying enough for these laws, and we're supposed to. But we just nonchalant, like, okay, whatever. But then we have to pray for this kind of stuff. That's what Christians, I ain't trying to march, but I do know how to pray. I don't have to be there marching, but I know how to pray. My prayer reach way farther than I could march.
Why you don't want to march?
I don't. That's just me. Other people might want to do it, but I'm telling you about me. But I know I can pray where I'm at. I've never liked to be in that kind of setting. I just don't like it.
In Alabama,
I do know how to pray for it.
In Alabama,
and I mean, you know, everybody is different. You know, I've been a person that will march, go to meetings. And I was at the city council meeting last night in Huntsville. One of the black ladies and I were talking afterwards that our people, and it's across the country, will not go to city hall meet. They won't go to school board meetings. So a lot of our people complain, but they're not trying to do what needs to be done. Now,
right.
The letter going around now, that at a private school down here, Alpha Omega, the headmaster was begging the parents and sent letters because now they're trying to get it passed that Christian schools, boys and girls, can go in the same bathroom. Now, the House representatives have already approved it, but the Senate is up on the Senate floor now, and we got to stand up and do something. Because people don't, a lot of people, they're not voting, they're not having their voices heard, and there's power in numbers. I mean, I respect a person that don't, you know, want to march. That's okay. But somebody got to march. Somebody got to, we need some prayer warriors, but we need some foot warriors, too.
I'm not against marching. That's just not me.
But like I'm saying, everybody is different. But I give another example, too. Like some people, they'll go to a meeting, they'll pray, but then some of them won't stand up and speak and say something. You know, they said, you know, I get talked about, but you know what? I'm going to go to me, but I'm going to say something too. When we talk about can we talk? Yeah, we got to talk. And so many things have been so hidden for so long. I was just reading before I got on the phone about sexual abuse that's coming out through the Boys and Girls Clubs of America. A lot of those kids have been abused by people that work there.
Right.
It's going on in these schools with these coaches and people, and they keep these schools keeping it undercover. That's I'm proud of the Can We Talk, but we got to talk about it. And there's an organization I found out this week that was founded by a police officer. It's called Bold Without Apology, BWA. You don't have to apologize for being bold.
My question is
what it is.
My question come back. When we say we got some don't want to get in the marching line but believe in praying, so we have a dichotomy here. And how are we gonna get in there? Because I hear one say that the people, the preachers, I hear one saying the councilman. So how do we come to a bondable agreement to go there and just stand somewhere and pray together and call those things as they were? That's the question I'm raising all the time. See, I don't depend on God but God. When I find out something, I get on my blog talk with it, I expose it. But there is a way to expose it. Now, you got a lot of teachers in the schools that are lesbians. You got a bunch of men that are homosexuals. You got a lot of people married. They're going out and doing this and that. So how can they call on a true and living God when their lifestyle has not met the bar? That's the question that we must push into people's understanding. See, going to city council is good. But what good am I going to city council? I can do more by praying away from the city council and speaking the word in the atmosphere and getting on block radio and say there's a preacher. I don't have to call his name. He's a homosexual. There's a lady who's a lesbian. And I met some people on both sides of the aisle in my life. But I say this. So we got to go to those people. Jesus
in
told
love.
Us. He said, go ye therefore into all the world and teach and preach, lay hands on the sick, and set them free. Why aren't we doing that today? Everybody got to jump ahead of the hill. Can we talk?
We turn our backs on them instead of showing them love. And I remember one time a minister said that his sister was gay, and she came finally made up her mind to come to church. And as soon as she came there, the preacher said that she was molested. That's why she likes you. She said, that's the very reason why I don't go to church. he shouldn't have did that. He shouldn't have exposed that out loud, you know. And see, that could have been, you can't lose souls.
But you know what?
Maybe she would have got delivered. Maybe she would have got delivered if he just would have played with her privately.
Can we talk?
Well, one thing about the lesson that I have an issue with people, if they chose to be a lesson, you got to love them into the kingdom. But I go deeper than that and try to say, okay, what led you to that? People judge, but people don't try to have a conversation. And so you got to start straight up with love. And a lot of them will tell you that they were sexually abused by their dad, their mama's boyfriend, a coach, a pastor. And that caused that. But by the same token, as women, we're nurturers, we're carers, we're affection. So they're looking for love and affection. Yes, in the wrong place, but that's what led them to that. And I've ministered to some that have turned back, and they have been told, like, who they are. You got to be bold, but in love, and let them know, but that's not God's plan for you. This is a lady I know, she turned back from that, but she was taught with love. She said, I never had people to tell me the truth in love. They didn't grow up parents telling who you are in God, and that's the missing piece right there. There's a girl that was gay, and she wrote a book called Gay Girl, Good God. And she turned back to God and accepted God. And one thing she said, in the church, she wasn't welcome in the church. She wasn't welcome in the faith great group of the Christians, but the Lord in her bedroom, the Lord convicted her and led her back to Christ.
Yeah.
All right. So when I say, can we talk, it means somebody needs to pause. Let me tell you something, what I found out in my life. All have sinned
and come short.
So I can't blame a man who's a homosexual. He was born that way. No, he was born into sin.
Mm-hmm.
That woman was born into sin. So he sent Jesus to get some correction. So those of us who have been corrected, we go to them and show them how to come out of that darkness. The people live in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, instead of turning our nose up at them, we need to love them. Love on them, and then that's what they're needing. And then they say, oh, well, somebody care about me. Sometimes they think people don't care about them, so they just keep doing what they're doing because they find comfort in where they're at.
I told a beautiful lady, she was a lesbian, she told me, I don't deal with men. I have a lover. I said, I do too. And she looked at me. I was young. She said, you do? I said, yeah. His name is Jesus.
Uh-huh.
The lover of my soul, the lover of my spirit, the lover of my understanding. Oh, yes. And so eventually, she told me when I told her, I said, look, God has blessed you with a vagina, and he blessed that man with a penis. When you discover what the purpose is, she saw me years later and told me, said, you was absolute. She said, I never noticed all that much excitement being with a man. She said, oh, my God, I'm enjoying it. And she said, I'm going back, give me a little bit more of it. See, that's what you want to hear. Am I right? Help me, somebody.
Yeah,
can you talk?
That's right. Christian people, we talking about them, and we put them out to church, they have rules in the church. You can't, if you want to come, if you're homosexual, don't come in here with no dress on. I wouldn't allow it in my house. Just come. You could come.
No,
but
you
might just
You have to set up understanding. We want everybody come to this church. But if you're a man, wear pants. If you're a woman, wear a dress. You got to send that signal out, pastor, ahead of time. The people come in, they know they're comfortable. I've met some people, and I've seen some people. I mean, I know some men get close to you. Like I told one girl once some years ago, I said, man, let me tell you something. You got a choice. She said, what? I said, if you touch me again, I'm going to send you to meet God. He said, what? I said, don't touch me again what you just did to me. What? I said, no, I told you don't do that because that's not my style. Now I'm going to pray for you. I think I scared the hell out of him. He's preaching. I got some daughters and sons. See, it takes boldness. You know?
Yes, we have to be bold for the Lord. We can't be no wimp. We have to be bold to speak
and
for
just
God.
Just because I say, can we talk? Just because I say, I'm going to this place. Look, when I'm going out to the VA hospital, I met more people that got some things wrong with them. I don't put them down. I say, hey, brother, sister, how you doing? People look at me crazy. He must be on drugs again. No, I'm not. I'm trying to show my affection for God's people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We are all God's people. Some of them not come to understand it yet. Have I seen many times? Have I done no many times? Amen, somebody. Can we talk?
Amen.
Amen.
See,
you have to go to them in love.
In love.
Yeah, you have to go in love. You have to show
love.
It
can't be about you.
We can't pick and choose who we want to show love to.
It can't be about you. Well, I have this Blog Talk radio station. It's not about me. It's about you reaching the. Do y'all realize when we mentioned about the 2 billion people and people turn on this radio station? Even in Africa, North America, South America, Canada, Alaska. But we have reached out and touched. That's why I say to person to come on this program. You got to be S-H-R-P and the W-R-D.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's some people to set you up for a trap. And I'm being honest with you. Some going to do it. They will come on with me. And since I have control of the pen, I can tell them, I'm going to show you I control. Just watch what I'm going to do. Watch this right quick. Dr. Gamble, can you hear me? But you can hear me, but you can't say nothing to me. Oh, what? Yeah, I put you on mute. That's how you do it. You have to put the devil on mute. I'm not saying you're a devil, doctor. I'm just being honest. I'm just trying to give an example. What God is doing. And what God wants done, he's trying to
argue. Sometimes we don't have to argue back. Because all
see,
it is us in a rage.
Mm-hmm. See, I put you on mute, but you couldn't. We couldn't hear you, but you could hear me, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. You put the devil on mute. Can we talk?
Oh, yes. We have to put him on mute. Because he's trying hard now. He's trying to frustrate everybody now because he know his time is short. So he's just trying to, when people going through, you know, they be ready to give up, throw in the towel. No, we just got to keep calling on the Lord. And he'll answer. He say, call on me in a time of trouble. He say, I'll answer. And that's what God wants us to do, to call upon him. You're not worrying him. Go to him all the time.
And another thing is, too, that we know the devil can't read our mind, but he listens to what we say. And like the word said, you are what you say. Your life and death is in the power of the tongue. So when he tests us, we have to repeat God's words, say a scripture, sing a song. But he can't read our mind. But he tunes into whatever we say, and quickly and subtly before we know it.
May I say something right quick?
All that moping and complaining and grumbling and all that kind of stuff, just go to God. You're taking too much time doing that, so you can go to God.
Can we talk?
Somebody had put on Facebook, it takes 90 gallons of water to baptize somebody. It only takes 8 or 9 drops, and people won't come to church.
Can we talk? Let me show you something else. Mm-hmm. One thing, since we on that station, on our station, there comes a time in our life when we have to put the word out there.
Yes.
Fasting and praying is good. But when you stay before the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, I got a brother or sister that's lost, and I want to see their lives change.
Yes.
I got somebody out there, I saw them doing this here. Lord, I saw them went down in Huntsville. I know that if I could do this, I would do it. I know they're going to put me down. Doesn't worry me, Lord, but I want to do your will. Because I know some women out there need some help, Father. Do you think God's not going to answer me? Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. Go ahead, Dr.
Emma. I was just thinking about Holy Spirit brought to my attention. You know, I was brought up forgiveness. And so I had a problem. Something happened in the family with my sister, and the whole family was all tore up from the floor up. And so, and one day, I had forgave her. And so the Spirit of the Lord said, you go to her and ask her to forgive you. And when I did that, she said, I forgive you, and please forgive me. You see? And and that was a relief for her. Mm-hmm. Even though she started all the mess, but the Holy Spirit told me do it, and I obeyed it. And then, look, now she's back talking to everybody, trying to get the family fixed up, and all of that kind of stuff. And I said, Lord, look at you.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes people don't want to come to you. They want to, but they don't. But when he tell Isaac, I told my stepfather, I said, you go to her. You go to her first. Don't wait. You go to her first. And I said, you're going to release yourself, too. And so, you know, you just sometimes we have to go to them and ask them to forgive us, even though they done us wrong. You go to them. It ain't going to hurt you. It ain't going to kill you.
Can we
It's probably going to make you feel good and make you feel better. You begin to get your joy, your laughter back. You begin to, you know, get back where you need to be with God, the relationship that you need to have with God.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk?
Yes, and with that, too, one of my, I have a dear friend, but she's also my spiritual counselor, and she referred me to this book written by Dr. Sandra Wilson, and the book's entitled Hurt People, Hurt People. And that really helped me because through the years that I've been so hurt, and it helped me to understand her too, that when people are hurting themselves, they'll hurt you subconsciously, not consciously of it. And then reality, I have to recognize too that I have hurt some people, not intentionally, but because I was hurt and wounded, then it caused me to hurt people. So hurt people do hurt people. And I know when me and Dr. Roberta went for prison training at my church, it was a lady there, she made that same statement. She said, hurt people hurt people.
I have a question I want to raise to you.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, what day in y'all's hometown would you like to see a revival start? What day would you like to see a revival start down there?
You said
revival start down here?
Yeah. What day would you like to see a revival? It's already started. But who want to put the mantle on down there in near this prison? Who want to put the mantle on?
To start a revival.
Coordinate the revival?
Hey, am I making this? Let me ask you this question. Revival. Would somebody have a church let us come out there and do in their church for 2 days at their church and see a great change, or they will let us not come there? That's the question I raised to any pastor.
Well, I'm almost sure. You just have to ask them.
Because we used to have old-fashioned, like, tent revivals and have revival outside.
Well, see, I know that, but I'm saying right now, because We're going to get out there in the streets. We want to do that. But if we get more inside of the building and get them full of the Holy Ghost,
we can take more out. Yeah. That's why I say a lot of people in churches need to be delivered and set free. You know, they sit there, they go to church, you know, faithfully and sing in a choir, but, you know, they're not free.
There are three people in y'all churches right now, and y'all know who they are. They need the Holy Ghost. Their lives will be changed differently. Their lives will be changed differently. See,
yes.
Huntsville needs help. But it needs the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost men. And I said that to say this. I would take the time to come and spend 2 days down there. Are we there?
I was just thinking we could get it together, you know. I could, you know, start trying to prepare for it, get it prepared.
Well, all I would ask you to do is one thing. Find a place that the pastor want to see a revival. He want to see some change come in his church. I guarantee you he's going to see a change in his church. Will he have to pay me? No, he won't. God's paying me. I'm not in the business for money. God has somebody come along and slide my hand. Money. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you what God has done. We're gonna be working.
I know I will be working on that. I'll work on that. Because I would love to see the leadership come together and just refresh with God. Just come in God's presence. Just have a good time. Stop worrying about who gonna get members and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Stop what it's all
now
about.
You need to get souls instead of members.
You need to get some souls saved.
I was gonna say
in Huntsville where we're located, like the Huntsville, the Sam Houston area, University area, that's called the Third Ward of Huntsville, and they say the city council say it's the worst ward in Huntsville. And I think talking in the area would be
where we want to go. That's where we want to go.
Right.
That's where we want to go. Now, have y'all heard a horn go, haven't you? A chauffeur?
What you said?
A chauffeur.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to put some... I just did it with my mouth. But I'm learning how to blow that thing. And because when people hear that horn, it's that chauffeur is going to shake them.
Yes, it do shake up stuff. Yeah.
Everything that was untied down is loosened. And I'm saying to you, sister love, it ain't about me, but God can use you during the revival.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be ready. See, some let me tell you something when I found this out. There was a man of 102 years old, 104, 108 years old I walked with. That old man had the Holy Ghost. Like, oh, my Lord, that old man was. He had the anointing. And see, when you got the anointing, I know we all anointed. But we come together at a certain time, and we pray and believe. We go to Huntsville. Can you imagine stirring up Huntsville on CNN?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we just found out. On CNN, we just got the word down in CNN. Somebody that was slain in the spirit. They got filled with the Holy Ghost, and they start doing the holy dance. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's some women behind that prison need somebody to love them. There's some men behind the prison that need somebody to love them. And that's where we're going. When I went to... prayer in Louisiana, What's the worst in prison, Louisiana? Let me see what your knowledge is. The worst prison in Louisiana is where?
Mangola. I think Mangola.
Yes. And you tell me that was a place where God had to be there. And they invited me to come down with some more people. So I let everybody, we working as a team, women and men as a team. And they asked me one day, they said, Ken, there's a man that's up there in the ready to die. Can you go pray for him? I said, gladly. Went up there and prayed for the man and told him who he was, who I was, and told him what was going to happen. He said, I'm now ready to go be with the Lord.
Well, one in that third ward, one of the top worst prison is the Walls Unit. That's the headquarters for executions. And that's in the third ward, where I'm talking about the Huntsville, the worst ward in Texas. And the Walls Unit is in the middle of that ward.
Well, I want to say to you, you let the Holy Spirit lead you down to where you are. Not me, but let him lead you. Because I have something here, right here. I see it operate. I know it operate. I know some people come with me down there. I know
yes.
It's time for us to get revival going.
Yes.
It's our time. It's our time.
It's our time.
It's our time.
And see, the more we fuse in and let the fire get started, and somebody take the fire from different places. See, it's like a man a guy who holds up the trophy when he's running with the fire. Everybody's following him. Because when he touched that grass, the fire starts off. Help me, somebody.
I'm thinking about this revival.
I know it.
I'm praying, thinking about the location. The location
God's
that we want to do it.
God's going to give you a location. You got a location up there.
Yeah.
You got
a lot of people need to be free and set free. Of a lot of addictions and a lot of hurts, and you know, they just need to be set free, and they're not getting it where they're at.
Well, if somebody has the Bible, go to the book of Acts 7, chapter and 63. I want to read it. Somebody, please.
Acts 7 and what?
60. Acts 7 and 60. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Okay.
Yeah.
And 60. He fell down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin on their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep.
My God. That's where we are in America right now. That's where we are in America right now. Somebody have to give their life up to give God the glory.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when they were stoning Stephen.
We got to put it in a noun, but vernacular. They want to stone you. They want to stone you.
Mm-hmm.
They want to stone me. They want to stone doctor. They want to stone us. Understand what I'm saying? When I look into the scripture, look deep into it. Lord, do not lay this charge against them. This sin.
Mm-hmm.
Man, those men sin. They throw rocks at him. They heard what he was saying. And so when you get down to the fullness of it all, they wanted to have control of the whole place so that they could say, we in charge of this show now.
Mm-hmm.
The devil is busy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He wants to be in charge of the whole thing, but it's up to us.
Yeah.
We're in charge.
But you know, even when Jesus was about to be crucified, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Well, let me ask you a question. I'm going to test you or not. Was he talking to the Jewish nation? We're talking to the people of the world. I'm going to tell you, he was talking to the Jewish nation. The Gentiles were never brought in. But God knew his chosen one. When you go back and read the book of Abraham, and you go and read the book about Moses, and saw how God used those two men.
Yes.
He set things up in them. He said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make sure your fields are full of everything you need. I'm going to love you, and you're going to love me, and you will honor me. And you will have no other God before me. And I want you to know that salvation is of the who? It's of the who? Of the Jews. When you dig into the scripture, I'm not losing you, am I?
Oh, no.
No, sir.
And so then you look at what God did through the man named Abraham. He took Abraham. He said, I want you... Because he knew his heart. God knew, he knew Moses' heart. He knew Moses was a snappy head. He was hard-headed. He was hot-minded. God knew that. But God prepared him to go a distance. God prepared everyone else to go a distance. Like your father. He went a distance.
Yes.
He's the Lord right now. His body. But his spirit, man, is with the Lord. Can we talk?
Yeah.
And
so when you look at what she said about what Jesus said, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they do. He was talking to the Jewish nation. They wouldn't accept the fact that he would become and be crucified according to the word of God. Had to be a death. Had to be. According to the book of Hebrews, had to be. But they said, no, no, no. We ain't going to accept that. So all of a sudden, look what happened. Am I making sense? Can we talk?
Yeah. And I think one of the good spots, as I said, I was reading about the Boys and Girls Club, and it's coming out now that's been hidden for so long, about the abuse of boys and girls. The Boys and Girls Club is a national club. We have a new one that they opened up a couple months ago. They're going to have the grand opening dedication tomorrow. But it's in that community. It's in the community, the worst ward in Huntsville, but it's an awesome new Boys and Girls Club that's going to be needed. I looked at the girls, like a lot of girls. I'll give an example. Like in boys basketball, we coached them for 8 years, but now we switch over to girls, and it's a national dilemma with these girls. And one of the sports Bible study for girls, it says, bold and beautiful, becoming the female athlete God created you to be. A lot of girls that's in sports, that's why they say the lesbianism is so high in sports, but a lot of them have not been taught or been told who they are in Christ. They haven't been told that before God created the world, before he formed us in our mother's womb, he had a divine destiny plan for us. A lot of them, they have not been told that. And now you got police officers, to people that want to go, draw them to the club to revive them, to encourage them to know who they are in Christ. And then we go to that unforgiveness thing. It's like it's a cancer. And that's why I said the new cancer, unforgiveness, is literally killing people. And I'm talking to them, well, I'll never forgive them. You don't know what they did. But the thing about it is God forgive us day by day, moment by moment. But it's a killer. Cancer is literally killing people. And the church is supposed to be the spiritual hospital where they can be healed. And that's an area, if I would target in the third ward, the worst area, I would target someone, and it's on Martin Luther King Street. And it's so sad that in mostly every city you go, they have a Martin Luther King Street or avenue. That street or avenue is filtrated with drugs and alcohol, people hopeless. And it's sad commentary, for his life. But in most cities, and it brought to my attention, I researched it, in most cities that have a Martin Luther King Street or Avenue, it's a city that have a lot of crime and killers and drugs in those hooded communities.
Well,
and
I
tell you,
we go back to the statement. Can we talk? To get on Blog Talk Radio is good to talk about it. But what are we doing to penetrate in those different organizations? Quietly, I would reach to the top person and say, look, we want to have a revival. That's what I'm talking about. See, I learned it from John Osteen when I was bodyguard for 20 years before he went to heaven. I learned how to penetrate. And, and the more I said, well, I'm so-and-so and so, and can I just have a, can I come and to speak for just 2 minutes? I don't even just say. And the Holy Spirit gets to moving, and some things happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about this new organization. That don't make a difference with me or God.
Mm-hmm.
God souls, those souls that have what he wants. When then they'll come back and say, well, I was in this, I was in that. That's what God is looking for.
Yes.
That's what
he wants. And
that's what
we should be seeking after. People to be set free and delivered and so on. Because I was reading one time and said, believers make believers.
Right.
So believer, we should be trying to make believers. And the more believers we make, the more they make. The more this, you know, because we can look back. I know we can look back and if we didn't witness to somebody and they say they accept for Jesus Christ. And today you look at them, they still doing God's business. So they have to introduce us to the Lord.
Yeah, and see, when you take notes of the Jews, they know how to talk to God. But we don't, some of us, and I've learned through some Jewish that I've been going around and talking. I don't have to belong to a church.
Uh-uh.
I am the church.
Right.
Because in me lives Christ, the hope of glory. Am I trying to put him down? No, I'm not. I'm trying to go and do what Jesus told me to do.
Yeah,
go use that.
And that.
Hey, Hunter, go. Yes.
I want to say, when you said that, I don't have to belong to a church. No, but we still need to go to them churches because it's something there that we have that they need. That's why we need to go. Yeah.
Now you see what I'm saying.
Yes. Because see, some people want to say we got to belong. What are you belonging to? Are you there to try to get folks saved and delivered and set free? And are you just going to be going? When I go, I'm looking for somebody I can pray for. Holy Spirit said, okay, pray for that one. Pray for this one. So one time I went to a church, I was invited. You said, I don't do that. And so I was the option of the Holy Spirit to go. I was there. I just to witness to a young girl that had been bullied.
Well, I'm going to tell you something.
I had no time to go back.
We got about on the time clock. We got 2 minutes. We got 6 minutes and 13 seconds. What I want to do right now, I want each one of you to take two minutes and tell the world what God is showing you, and then that'll do it. And then we're gonna go ahead.
God is showing me what I was working on today with our new Boys and Girls Club, as they call it, the Hood, and these girls in trouble. He's been working with me on connecting a liaison, a person from every church in the community that minister to girls. Some don't have it, that we all come together and do something through sports and music to win these girls to Jesus Christ. And we're going to have the open house tomorrow for the New Boys and Girls Club, and it's a prime spot. And that's why I've been working on that today, because my heart for girls and ladies.
Amen. And I'm looking at trying to have a conference that women gave to me one day. He said, my heart is in prison for unforgiveness. And see, a lot of women is locked up because they don't know how to forgive. They feel guilty because they didn't know how to take care of their children. And it's a lot of things, but they need to be free from that so they can move on. Some people don't know how to move on. And that's my concern now. And I said that God has blessed me. I thank God for my dad that I've had him for 60 years in my life. And I thank God for that. I took care of him from 2011 up to 2019. And I thank God. I was it was a pleasure to me. But, you know, sometimes it takes away from a lot of things we do, but God gave me time to rest and do what I need to do. But it's on now. He passed away Saturday. Hey, it's on. It's on. It's on. I'm ready to do God's business. It's all about kingdom business with me. I'm done.
Well, one thing I want to say to all of us, the one thing that God wants from us is sincerity. Sincerity. Don't lie to me. I don't lie to you. Be honest with me. I'll be honest with you. Don't put yourself above me. I don't put myself above you.
That's right.
We're all not above nobody.
God is above.
Same thing. We're working for the glory of God. And the first thing I can say, when I came down to Huntsville, I had no idea what God's going to do with me, but I obeyed God. I got jumped on backwards and forward. Do you think I care? No, I don't. Why? Because I'm obeying God. Some people said, well, you shouldn't have done that. Wait. You're not my wife, and you're not a member of my household. So you can't come trying to tell me what to do, what God told me to do when he blessed me. I'm blessed. I'm doing what he said to do. Now, when God tell me after you, he going to tell me to do something else, and I'm going to do it. I thought I'd give him $20 some years ago that God got up to the way it is right now. Why am I doing it? Because I'm obeying God. I mean, y'all don't know the whipping I have to take. I told some people, I said, whip all you want to, because it doesn't bother me.
But you have to look at too is our relationship with God. So you have a deep relationship with the Lord. So people, if they don't have a relationship with the Lord, a personal relationship, they're not going to understand it. Because the more time you swim here, he'll give you direction where to go, what to do.
I'll give you your time and give me my time now.
Okay. I'm sorry.
So I'm saying,
I'm just excited.
I know you're excited, but I'm asking God to download it. When I'm down there at the VA, find a young man full of handful of drugs. He has to take. He said, I don't know what's going on. I said, tell me, brother, what's going on? They told me I need to take this medicine. I said, go ahead and take it. It's going to help you. But I need Jesus. Whoa. You just opened the door for me to get you. And you know what? When I got through, tell him to take his medicine. Watch him take all the medicine. Pray for him. He accepted Jesus Christ. And see, I don't tell everybody that. Some people don't understand it. But, you know, I want to let you know, I don't care if everybody on the same thing own, because I want people to have their own experience and do what they do. Amen? That's why I got 1 hour.
Amen.
And I said, if you get an opportunity to bless what I'm doing, do it. I'm not going to beg you. You know, we got about 30 some months seconds. You know what? Father, we just thank you for the night you've done for us.
Thank you, Lord.
And we just want to say thank you. Because
thank
of
you,
we love you, we adore you, we magnify your name. And then, Father, we just said thank you. It's in the name of Yeshua.
You,
in the name of him, we thank you. On the
thank
other
you,
side,
thank
we
you, Lord.
Amen, amen. See you.
Amen.
So we're going to be on each Wednesday at 7, Dr. Hunter.
I'll call you back.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Okay. Love y'all.
Love you too.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.